What would you do with a brain if you had one?
Do? Why, if I had a brain, I could...
I could while away the hours, conferring with the flowers, consulting with the rain. And my head, I'd be scratching while my thoughts were busy hatching if I only had a brain.
Welcome back. Not too many regular guests have their own intro music, but Patrick Albanese is that person. If he only had a brain.
Self-selected.
It's self-selected.
Good morning. Self-selected intro music, right?
You picked that one out yourself. Patrick, do a segment called Headline Hunters, and we hunt the headlines and look to see what needs to be discussed and what we can weigh in on. And as you know, go ahead.
It seems like there's nothing going on in the world. I can't seem to find anything in the headline.
Oh my! Well,
you see anything?
Well, I do see a lot of things going on. Let's talk briefly about what Donald Trump said that I thought was kind of interesting. He was saying that Obama was more angry at him than at the Orlando shooter. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, he was.
Oh, I know he was.
I think he kind of nailed it. You know. There are days it's extremely difficult to defend the things that Donald Trump says, and then there are days where you say, "I'm sorry, he got that one right."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think Obama spent more time, and I'm beginning to think that maybe it was sort of a trial balloon that Obama sort of went out there as a Hillary Clinton surrogate and said, "Let me do the attacking of Trump on this issue. Let's see how it plays out before you do it."
Mm-hmm.
Because if it's a losing issue, then you go a different direction. And mm-hmm. I think it will be a losing issue.
Mm-hmm. It did resonate with a lot of people. Donald Trump certainly has the military standing behind his position that we have to identify the enemy. We can't just talk about random things. Nobody is committing any of these atrocities in the name of violent extremism.
No, and you know what's interesting? You had as my theme song, of course, If I Only Had a Brain, which was from the Scarecrow, the Straw Man.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of appropriate because Obama's speeches that he's been giving on this lately, I go, there go the straw man. He always throws that thing out there. He says, you know, there are people that are saying, and then fill in the blank. And my question is always, who said that? Nobody said that. And nobody said that if you would just call them ISIS or Islamic extremists, that we would win this battle. Nobody said that. What seems to be the temperament in the country is people say, are you aware, are you ignoring this enemy? Why do you, on one hand, Obama says, gosh, you're saying that if I name this enemy, we'll be able to fight them. Well, that's a ridiculous strategy. But his strategy seems to be by not naming them. There's my strategy. Well, that's a ridiculous strategy, too. Just name them. Admit you know what we're dealing with here. And people seem to be a little frustrated that he won't do that.
Mm-hmm. The average citizen, that resonates very much with the average citizen. I mean, if there was a rabid dog in the neighborhood, you wouldn't want posters going up saying canine extremism. You'd want the breed of the dog. And you would want its color,
right.
And you'd want to know everything about it. You want to know specifics.
Well, and you know me well enough to know that I always like to do the old shoe on the other foot, moccasin. It's some sort of foot apparel thing.
Yeah, it's always something about
around.
That.
Yeah, but I say, well, would you ever cut that kind of slack or leeway to a Christian group? Because I find that sometimes Obama's speeches, you say, wow, you know, the only thing missing now is another one of your Crusades references from 500 years ago.
Right.
well,
600 years ago.
You seem to be, you're harder on the critics. I see in the Orlando type of incident. And I say, if we have to deal with another round of the bigger fear, the bigger problem here is not these Islamic extremists, but it's Islamophobia. I just don't think you can pull that lie off. Because it's a lie.
Mm-hmm.
I think the average person in America says, that's not true. Islamophobia isn't a bigger fear. We're not having a backlash against Muslims. Muslims aren't being hunted down in the streets. No, nobody's doing that here in this country.
No, because everybody has Muslim neighbors and coworkers, and we get along quite well with them, and they're delightful people, and I like them very much.
Well, and you want to know something, I think that I want to borrow something from the marketing of Islam and use it for Christianity and just start telling people whenever they start to bash Christians, I say, well, you know, Christianity is the religion of peace.
Yeah.
I'll put it up against the other one.
Yeah. So what is your feeling about what Hillary Clinton is saying about all of this and her take? She seems like she's calmed down quite a bit since she's the presumptive nominee.
Yeah, and of course now she tries to make her move to the center, and she's going to try to appear to be the hawk. You know, I'm the person that you want in charge. You know, you want me for that 3 a.m. phone call, which I've ignored multiple times now, by the way, because I tend to sleep in.
Mm-hmm.
So I think she'll try to moderate. She'll try to bash Trump, say he doesn't have the temperament. But, you know, she doesn't really have the temperament either. And here's another area where I do think, you know, Trump is probably going to push pretty hard. She has a terrible track record. He's just going to trot out. It's like, well, let's see. You're the person who voted for the Iraq war. Then you changed your mind. You destroyed Libya. Syria is your mess. You know, you've been wrong about everything. Everything. I think her history, he's not going to let it just get swept under the rug.
Mm-hmm.
So it should make it very interesting.
Yeah. All right. It's 15 minutes after the hour. We're going to take a little break. When we come back, lots more with Patrick Albanese. You're listening to Dr. Bill Meyer Live. Bill Arnold in for him. We'll be right back.
Not just information, transformation. Faith 90.7 AM 900.
minutes after the hour. Welcome back. Nice to have you with us this morning. I'm talking to Patrick Albanese this morning from West Des Moines. Patrick, how are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Yeah.
I'm in West Des Moines. I'm glad you emphasized that.
I know, it's important for me to be specific. Patrick,
none of that central or east Des Moines for me. Yeah.
Yeah, I was reading this morning about a Harvard philosopher, and he said, a reliable way to make people believe in falsehoods is frequent repetition, because familiarity is not easily distinguished from truth.
I would have to agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to add to the repetition theme of it is, if it just so happens to be something you want to believe in,
mm-hmm.
that's going to make it a whole lot easier.
Mm-hmm.
You can see that with just about any issue we have right now. I mean, obviously, since the Orlando massacre, you have all these renewed calls for some sort of gun control measures. And you can look at the statistics and say, okay, come on, you know we can't get the guns off the street. You know it's never going to happen. You know that only the bad guys are going to have guns. You know that it will not make a dent in the crime rate. It's not, but they want to believe it. They think there's some sort of magical, just like if, you know, we start burning, you know, wheatgrass for fuel, that will save the planet. So,
mm-hmm.
It's not really going to happen that way.
Yeah.
But the repetition, yeah.
Because gun sales surge. Gun sales surge every time we have an episode like what we had in Orlando.
Yeah, especially when you see that it took the SWAT teams and the police about 3 hours to before they could actually enter that club. I think a lot of people are saying, you know, I don't think the government can protect me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like that old saying, you know, when seconds count, the police are only minutes away. You know, it's in Orlando's case, it was when seconds count, the help is only hours away.
Yeah.
And you start to feel like maybe I need to protect myself.
Yeah, good point. Patrick, let's talk about the wife of the Orlando gunman. What did she know? What do you think she's responsible for if she's driving her man to this club to scope it out and to the gun store to buy weapons and ammo?
Well, I'm sure that people will run to her defense and they'll say, well, he was an abusive husband and so she probably lived in fear. And maybe all of that is true. But I think it points to one of the larger issues that people, at least on a subconscious level, are worried about. And that is, yes, President Obama, for example, likes to point out that the extremists are only a small percentage of the population. You say, but why is it that the mainstream Muslims seem to be looking the other way.
Mm-hmm.
Where are the imams today from all the mosques in this country? Let's get them on the national networks speaking out against this. Why? For instance, if we keep saying these people have a perverted version of, say, Islam, you go, okay, where are the people presenting us with what Islam really is? Where are the people getting on the television programs and getting in the media and saying, here's what Islam really is, here's where they're perverting it, here's where they're wrong, where is that? The reformation that they so desperately need, and who are the proponents of it? And you look at the wife in this instant, and for me, I think, well, it's yet another example of we had the coworker who was afraid to come forward, the employer that was afraid to come forward because they didn't want to be called Islamophobic.
Mm-hmm.
We had that with the San Bernardino situation where people said, well, yeah, we noticed spooky things, but we didn't come forward. So you say either people are in fear or they're almost, how do you say that? They're complicit by not doing something. I mean, aren't there laws on the books that if you refuse to help somebody in need, that you can be held accountable?
Yeah, I don't know about
that.
Yeah, I don't know about that. But I mean, President Obama says quite loudly, the whole policy is if you see something, say something. But that doesn't seem to be the case with what went on in Orlando.
Yeah, well, I think it's if you see something, say something, then lawyer up. You're going to get sued. You know?
And then you're going to be called a Islamophobist, too, phobic, right?
Yeah, and I currently, you know, now suffer from Islamophobia phobia.
Mm-hmm. Which is what?
Which is that's the fear of being called an Islamophobe. it's multiple levels deeper. It's scary stuff.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think about the president's response to not contacting the governor in Florida? Obviously, he's a Republican, so there's a little bit of tension there because he has not gotten things from the president he has asked. But other people have reached out. Is there an issue that we have with that? Do you find that to be disconcerting?
It is disturbing to me because you look at any time that a state goes through something, let's say Tropical Storm Sandy, and Obama was having no trouble reaching out to Chris Christie as governor. Granted, they're probably, you know, closer in political ideology. Maybe that's it. And New Jersey is a blue state. You sometimes feel like that he draws lines in the sand and mm-hmm. says, well, you know something, you're not a state that really supports me much and you fight me on some issues. So it just feels like a snub to me.
Mm-hmm.
I do know that if George Bush were president, and we do this exercise a lot, if he did something like that, if, for instance, during Hurricane Katrina, he had not reached out to the governor of Louisiana, who was a Democrat at the time, people would have not only considered it a snub, it would have been front page news for weeks,
mm-hmm.
weeks as a snub.
Mm-hmm. And then what do you think about when people say, the candidates might say something like, this is not a time for politics, so what I'm about to say is not about politics, and then they proceed to say something that's only about politics?
Yeah, that's, you just can't take the politician out of the politician. And let's put it this way. I've come to the short, quick realization that when people say things, they're generally just a euphemism for, you're not allowed to speak, now let me speak. So when they say, this is not a time for politics, that's telling the people that have an opposing view, you keep your mouth shut, and now I have something to say.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what we've come up with these blanket terms in our language now, you know, Islamophobe, for instance, homophobic. There's many of them. And you often see these are hurled at people. And basically, it's a way to say, you stop talking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, what you have to say, because you know what? What you have to say doesn't count. Because you're this terrible, nasty thing that I've just called you.
Mm-hmm.
And so your opinion doesn't count.
Yeah. Well, you're running out of time. I'm not. I'm here till late, but you're running out of time. So I want to ask you this. This horrible, horrible story in Florida where this family is at Disneyland and this poor 2-year-old gets snatched by an alligator and it's been a search and rescue mission all night. And as a dad, and you know what this would be like, can you imagine the horror and how must we must pray for this family?
Absolutely. And, you know, I've already disturbingly seen, I should follow my own advice, never read the comments section of any article, but you see people saying, well, it's partly their fault for just being there or for just existing. And you say, look, I don't care how it all happened. Whatever happened to that good old American spirit, the good old Christian spirit of praying for somebody in their time of desperate need? This definitely calls out for what a horrible thing to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're missing that in this country. I remember after 9/11, we all learned how to pray together. Now we don't.
Mm-hmm.
We don't. We throw fingers. It's like, pray for these people. They really need it.
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine a bigger horror. And I do. I was literally out of breath reading that story. And boy, we do need to pray. Thank you for that reminder, Patrick, that we need to gather together and inside and with others take a time to pray and to be mindful of what's going on for all the people that are suffering.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. 26 minutes after the hour, you are listening to Dr. Bill Meyer Live. Bill Arnold sitting in for him today, and we'll be right back.